In his book, Integrity, Ted Engstrom told this story. For Coach Cleveland Stroud and the Bulldogs of Rockdale County High School, which is in Conyers, Georgia, it was their championship season. 21 wins and 5 losses on the way to the Georgia Boys Basketball Tournament last March. Then they had a dramatic come-from-behind victory in the state finals. But now the new glass trophy case outside the high school gymnasium is bare. Earlier this month, the Georgia High School Association deprived Rockdale County of the championship after school officials said that a player who was scholastically ineligible had played 45 seconds in the first of the school's 5 postseason games. "We didn't know he was ineligible at the time. We didn't know it until a few weeks ago," Mr. Stroud said. "Some people have said we should have just kept quiet about it, that it was just 45 seconds and the player wasn't an impact player. But you've got to do what's honest and right and what the rules say. I told my team that people forget the scores of basketball games. They don't ever forget what you're made of." Amen to that. People do not forget what you are made of. This man in the school was made of integrity. Integrity. After surveying thousands of people around the world and performing more than 400 written case studies, James Cousins and Barry Posner identified those characteristics most desired in a leader. In virtually every survey, honesty or integrity was identified more frequently than any other trait. That shouldn't surprise us, though. People want assurances that leaders can be trusted. They want assurances. Might be political leaders, business leaders, leaders in the educational field, or religious leaders. Religious leaders. You know, now more than ever, our country and the church needs people of integrity. And when you think about it, each Christian here this morning is a leader in a sense because we set an example for other people. So other people watch us. And when they know that we are a Christian, they expect honesty and integrity from us. As well, they should. Therefore, we, as leaders, in a sense, need to walk in integrity. And if you haven't guessed by now, this morning's lesson is on integrity. How important it is, its necessity, and what it looks like in people's lives. So number one, what is integrity? It can be defined as the continual adhering to a moral or ethical code. So it is a set of principles or guidelines that you follow morally, ethically, and that you adhere to it strictly. That's what it means to walk in integrity. The basic word integrity, and I found this to be very interesting, the basic word means complete. A person of integrity is complete, and the idea seems to be that a person of integrity is complete in the sense that they don't have divided loyalties. In other words, there's nothing in them that is pulling them apart. So this person... Their actions match their words. A person of integrity is complete, they're whole, because their actions meet or match their words. What they say they are and what they say they do, they actually do it. That's who they are. So they're complete in that sense. They're not being pulled apart. They know who they are. They know what they're supposed to do. They have this moral code that they're following, and they follow it. So they're complete. They are whole. So a person of integrity is a person that's the same regardless of where they are, regardless of who they are with. In other words, a person of integrity doesn't play the hypocrite. Doesn't play the hypocrite. Who they are is who they are. They don't hide behind a mask. It's the what you see is what you get. I'm not trying to deceive you. I'm not trying to fool you. If I say something, then I mean it. I'm a man that is honest. I'm a person of integrity. And I follow a code and I follow it strictly. That's what integrity means. And the Bible is filled with great examples of men and women who walk in integrity. So that we can go and see what it means to walk in integrity. We can look at examples. We can look at situations. We can look at circumstances in which people followed that strict moral code. They were people of integrity. So first of all, in our examples of integrity, let's look at Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we'll begin reading there in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is our first example of a person walking in integrity. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here's the king walking before you, and I'm old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and for his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You've not cheated us, oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." No wonder the people held Samuel in such high regard. What did Samuel say? It says, "My life is an open book." That's what he said. He says, "Here I am. You look. You scrutinize my life. Did I take something of yours? Did I steal something from you? Did I deceive you? Did I lie to you?" He says, "You look at every area of my life." He says, this is open to you. I'm not hiding anything. So he had the whole congregation of Israel there, and not a single person responded. Not a single one came up and said, "Yes, Samuel did this to me," or "Samuel stole that," or "Samuel lied to me," or "Samuel deceived me." Not a person. Now that's what integrity is. Living in such a way that your life is an open book. You're not constantly having to explain why you did this, why you did that, why whatever. People see your life and they know that you're exactly what you said you were. You weren't hiding anything. You didn't put a mask on and try and be something you weren't. If you said something, you meant it. You followed it. Samuel said, "That's what I did." Now that's being honest. Asking thousands of people. And this is when he's old, as he said, "I'm gray-headed." He says, "I've lived amongst you for years and years." And they still did not have one single thing to bring against him. Now that guy was a person of integrity. His beliefs and his behavior were consistent, as were his attitudes and actions. There was no divided loyalties. He was complete. He was whole. He was just the opposite of the Pharisees of Jesus' day, because they were not people of integrity. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says to them, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Notice what Jesus says to them. Matthew 23, verse 1. "And see how different these people were than Samuel. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do.'" That's exactly the opposite of Samuel. What Samuel said, he did. The Pharisees would say, you need to do this, you need to do that. But would they do it themselves? No. And of course, the rest of the chapter, Jesus gives specific examples of how they were hypocrites. And of course, that's exactly what he called them. Down in verses 25 and 26 of that chapter, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. See, we need business leaders, political leaders, church leaders like Samuel, whose lives are open books, who say, scrutinize my life. Look at it under the microscope and see if I've not lived like I said I would live. The second example is Job. In Job chapter 2, Job showed that he was a man of integrity. Job chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. And he'll surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job knew that his integrity was a result of self-discipline. A person that is not disciplined cannot live in integrity. Because walking in integrity means you stick to a strict moral code. And if you're not disciplined and in control of yourself, you can't follow that code. Job understood that. Job understood that he had to be self-disciplined. And that's what kept his life together. Was that discipline? He kept himself under control. Paul said much the same thing about his ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It says that's how you walk in integrity. Paul said, we do not hide things. We're not crafty or deceitful, but we walk in such a way that people will commend our behavior, even as enemies would. So he says, that's walking in integrity. You discipline yourself. You bring yourself under control. Otherwise, you can't be a person of integrity. And so we're talking about Christians of all kinds need to be people who walk in integrity. Another great example in the Old Testament of integrity is Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, we have an account of his integrity. Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Daniel chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Says, we have looked at Daniel, we've looked at Daniel, we've looked at Daniel. We can find no fault in him. Now, these were his enemies. When your enemies can't find any fault in you, you're walking in integrity. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel was the same in his public life as he was in his private life. Didn't have divided loyalties. He was whole. He was complete. He was also disciplined, just like Job. So integrity means living your values and your beliefs in every area of your life. Every area, professional life, public life, private life, whatever, personal life. I mean, every area of your life, you walk in integrity. You don't have different codes that you live by depending on where you are, who you're with. You live by the same code, the same principles regardless. That's walking in integrity. Thomas Macaulay said, "The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he would never be found out." So what would you do, how would you live, if you knew for a fact that there would not be a single living person ever know what you did? Now, if you would live the same regardless, you're walking in integrity. But if you would change and do something that you normally wouldn't do, then that means you're not being honest and walking in integrity. A person with integrity has strong convictions, like Daniel. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see this in the New Testament brought forth. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read verses 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 4, verses 15 and 16. This is where Paul tells Timothy to take heed to his ministry. Verse 15 says, "Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Take heed to yourself. That's walking in integrity. Be careful about how you walk. Be careful about where you go. Be careful about what you say. Be careful about who you're with. It says you take heed. Because ultimately you want to do what? Save yourself and all those people that hear you. Again, that's for all Christians. These are great examples of what it means to walk in integrity. I know so many in our world today, whether it be political leaders, business leaders, leaders in the justice system, spiritual leaders, religious leaders, don't walk in integrity. You know, you continue every day, you find about some leader that's done something somewhere. So integrity does not describe their lives, but it should describe ours. And the Bible says there are blessings that come from walking in integrity. There's blessings that come from walking in integrity. Back in the book of Proverbs, the wise man tells us some of these blessings. In Proverbs chapter 10, the wise man tells us this. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. Solomon tells us, he who walks with integrity walks securely. Securely. But he who perverts his ways will become known. That's what happens in our world, isn't it? People may hide their perverse ways for a while, but ultimately it comes out. Ultimately it comes out. And again, you hear about these almost daily from some corner of our country. And they might be a business person. They might be a politician. They might be a religious leader. But over and over and over again, people's sinful, perverse, wicked ways are found out. But Solomon says, the person who walks with integrity walks securely. There's nothing to be found out. So you don't have to worry about being found out because there's nothing to be found out. See, you're adhering to a strict code, a moral code, an ethical code, and you're following it regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations. You don't change it. You adhere to it strictly. Then in the very next chapter, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. What's integrity going to do? Guide your life. See, integrity helps you make right decisions because it tells you how you're to live. So there aren't all these gray areas that you continue to hear about in our society. Well, that's a gray area. Well, that's a gray area. Well, that's another gray area. But integrity means there aren't all these gray areas. There's right or there's wrong. You're either doing what you should do or you're not. So if you walk in integrity, you're adhering very strictly to that code, whatever that code is. And for Christians, we know what that code is. It's the Bible. And so by walking in integrity, we avoid those pitfalls that you hear about daily that people fall into. We avoid them. Why? Because we're following, you know, we're self-disciplined, we're controlled, and so we're following that code of morals and ethics that the Bible very clearly states. And then we have these examples of what it means to be people of integrity. So we can follow them. And that keeps us from falling in all of these pits, all of these holes, and stumbling. And what's marvelous about it, the Bible says God will be delighted if we walk in integrity. In that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20 says, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. An abomination to the Lord. But the blameless in their ways are His delight. Isn't that marvelous? I want to end up telling something that Abraham Lincoln said. Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln was a president under fire. And if you've ever read his biography or about his life, you know he certainly was, especially during those terrible years of the Civil War. Those years that left a lot of scars. He knew he would make errors as president. But he resolved never to compromise his integrity. So strong was this resolve that he once said this, I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me. What a marvelous way to view how you should live. He wasn't going to give up his integrity for anybody, even if that meant losing every friend he ever had, because he wanted to make sure that he still had that one friend inside of himself. Integrity. It's become a rare commodity in our society, but it shouldn't be a rare commodity inside the church, because Christians, more than any other group of people, know the importance of walking in integrity. Following the Bible, that strict code of morals and ethics. The Bible tells us how to respond in situations and in circumstances. It tells us what to avoid. It tells us people to avoid. And we can walk in integrity. And we can show the world what walking in integrity looks like. And at the end of our life, we want to be like Samuel. We want to be able to say, "Here I am. Examine me. Look at my life. You've known me for years." We want to be able to say like Samuel, "Have I cheated anyone? Have I lied to anyone? Have I stolen anything from you? Have I deceived you?" We want to be able to open up our lives to scrutiny and be able to say, just like him, "Here I am." And if we walk in integrity, the people are going to answer, "No, we have nothing against you." That's the way Christians are to live, walking in integrity. Walking in integrity. This morning is an opportunity for you to make right decisions. Life is about decisions. Beginning a life of integrity means you give your life to Christ. You have your sins washed away in baptism. You begin to live a life of integrity, a life of honesty, a life that's open, not a life of hypocrisy. And then you do your very best to follow that code that we call the Bible. This morning, if you need to respond to that invitation, we want you to do so as we stand and sing this song.